welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune. And Kyle, we talked about it a few times last week, or I think we mentioned it a few times last week, that, you know, if that game against South Dakota was within 20 at the, you know, closing stages of the game, then we would have, you know, a lot of concerns. Well, the end result ends up being 35-10, thanks to a, you know, garbage time score that takes it from 28-10 and an 18-point margin to over 20. But I still got to feel like you and I are probably still not satisfied with that, you know, 25-point margin, even though it's technically over the 20 we talked about.
Yeah, the offense didn't look incredible
right.
In week one, playing against a inferior opponent.
Right.
That's why you're scheduling an FCS team week one. That's why, like, most of this pre-SEC schedule is supposed to be inferior opponents
right.
who you should run.
Right.
And, yeah, the offense just didn't quite show me much.
Right.
I mean, like, the first half, four scoring drives and a half is great. Other than that,
right.
I didn't see anything new. Like, that's kind of...
And I think that was the main question that I have for you is that we heard so much from the people who control what they're going to do, that things are going to be different. Things are going to be not look the same. You know, I didn't do a deep dive on every single offensive play, but every time I looked up, it seemed like, and it looked like the same Missouri Tigers I saw for all of last year.
Yeah, it... So there were some, I assume, some minutia differences.
Sure.
Right, like the way Brady Cook talked about it before the season was there are different routes, or like the main route on a play is different or something. And I didn't dive deep enough to notice that. But the feel of watching the team was, this looks the same.
Right. Yeah. So, I guess the big thing is we kind of went into the game going, okay, is it going to be Brady Cook? Is it going to be Sam Horn? Is it going to be Brady Cook? Is it going to be Sam Horn? Brady Cook played well. Things went okay when he was in there. But I think it was a little more kind of, I think the main takeaway from the game was, yes, Sam Horn played. And yes, Sam Horn didn't look necessarily great when Sam Horn played. But it also didn't look like maybe it was as, I don't know, freewheeling or as open to play calling as it was when Brady Cook was in. So is this a fair apples to apples comparison, or is this still apples and oranges from what we've seen?
I'll start with, you know, what Coach Drinkwitz told the media after the game, which is none of our opinions matter. it doesn't
sure.
matter what we see
right.
or what we think about it. So, no, I didn't think so.
Right.
You know, Brady started the game 11 for 11. Great. I don't remember any of those passes going more than 5 yards.
Right.
You know, they were screens or, you know, that kind of jet sweep in the backfield where you push the ball forward instead of tossing it behind you so it counts as a pass instead of a rush.
Right.
Awesome. You completed 11 in a row. Great. None of that impressed me. Brady did have a couple of nice throws. One kind of, he found Luther Burden in, you know, the middle of a zone. Great, very good pass. His touchdown pass to Makai Miller. He did a great job kind of moving through his reads and pulling defenders off. Great. And then you put Sam in for the second half, and he throws 5 total passes.
That was the thing. 21 for Brady's 5. I mean, how are we going to get any sort of feel for if
yeah.
it's similar?
And I will say, I think Sam had the best pass of the night, which was his 30-yard completion to Makai Miller over the middle. It was a dart. I mean, that was... It looked better than any of the passes Brady threw.
Right.
Brady had more consistency. It seemed like Sam might have had a higher upside. But how are you going to tell?
Right.
And another thing that was mentioned after the game is Sam got in there with the first-team offense, playing against the first-team defense. So shouldn't it be the same? Well, no. The play, or, you know, the game situation is entirely different. There was no urgency to the offense in the second half. It
right.
was give it to Schrader, give it to Nate Pete, and let them run out the clock as
right.
much as possible.
Right.
Every single one of Sam's drives was Schrader, 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 Pete, Pete, Schrader, Schrader.
right.
And then maybe a pass. You know, that's what that final garbage time scoring drive was
right.
just Schrader, 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 third down, so throw a screen to Luther 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage and let his elite athleticism make it through 5 defenders
right.
on the way to a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, great, that's one of Sam's passes, was he threw it 4 total yards,
right,
and it was completed 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
I don't think Sam got the opportunity to show at all what he can do during the game.
Yeah,
which, again, doesn't matter.
It doesn't, except for the fact that, again, I feel like even as much as, and maybe they know from seeing him in practice and seeing him at times where we don't see them, but I just still feel like there's something different about when it's got a guy going against people in different colored jerseys. Why do you not want to know exactly what this man can do? You know, you've got a chance against a team where you're going to have opportunities to do whatever you want, where it's not going to hurt you. Where, so what if you try something and, you know, you're throwing the ball all over the field and all of a sudden they take a pick back? You're still going to win this game. It's not like the result was in doubt. So why not loosen up and figure out what he can do? You know what Brady Cook can do. You've seen him under all sorts of different scenarios against SEC competition, non-SEC competition, close games, routes. You've seen it in all sorts of things. You know exactly what you've got from him. So why are we not trying to figure out better what Sam Horn is? That's the thing that just vexes me, where it's just like, maybe they think they already know and they don't need another answer. But to me, it's just confusing.
And I will say, I think Brady looked better than especially, you know, these same non-con games at the beginning of last season.
Sure.
And especially then that kind of stretch at the beginning of the SEC schedule when he was coming off getting hurt in the Kansas State game and just choosing to continue to play. I think the arm looks a little better. You know, the location of passes was good. He was leading a couple receivers into hits, but he played well.
Right.
My issue is not, you know, that I don't think Brady played well enough to be named the starter.
Right.
I don't think Sam got a shot.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, I totally agree. It's like, these are games where, and it kind of goes with how I thought about the offense throughout the game, too. These are the games where you should be trying stuff out to
right.
see if you can do it.
Sure. And I think sometimes maybe coaches get too in their heads and they're like, we don't want to put things on film because then people will have seen it. And it's like, yeah, but if you do things well enough anyway, they should work against other people, even if they've seen you do it once or twice. It's almost like they were just like, well, we want to hedge our bets and not commit too much by not giving them too much on film. But it's like, I don't know. I'd almost rather just go, let's try some stuff.
I mean, yeah, and if you run the offense you ran week one the same way, you're going to lose
right.
against good
right.
opponents.
Yeah.
They're going to be, you can't give the ball to Cody Schrader 20 times and running the exact same play
right.
the exact same way
right.
and expect it to start working when you're playing in the SEC schedule. I don't think that's the plan.
Sure.
You know, but like, There was nothing about that game that showed me that there was an evolution to the offense throughout the offseason, and that was the whole point in bringing in a new offensive coordinator.
Right. So, that's probably enough about the offense other than to say that, yeah, Schrader did have a game where he went over 100. Good for him.
His first one as a Tiger.
Yeah.
And now he's something like 48 yards away from 4,000 for his career.
Yeah.
So, good for him. That's awesome.
I guess the next thing then, though, that you look at and go, okay, what do we feel like in terms of, you know, it's a Mizzou defense that gave up 10 points. In your opinion, is that good or bad or just, you know, kind of fine?
I thought the defense played fine.
Okay.
They gave up something like 6 total yards in the first quarter. And then South Dakota put together a scoring drive in the second quarter. And then they didn't do much after that. So,
right.
you know, I mean, it's almost impossible in college football nowadays to hold a team to 0.
Sure.
Right? I mean,
right.
it just, offenses are too good.
Yeah.
Even like a South Dakota team, the offense is just too good to get shut out.
And I think that bears, you know, just, and by the same token, I think it's a game where, you know, Missouri gave up 201 total yards of offense. I also think that's a product of this day in football. I feel like, you know, giving up 200 now is maybe the equivalent of giving up, like, I don't know, 80 15 years ago, you know, where you look at it and go, heck, if we can limit anybody to 200 yards, that's probably pretty good because teams are just geared to get yards.
Yeah.
You know,
the defensive play didn't like jump off the field to me, jump out,
out
of the screen if you're watching on TV, but you know, they played solid. I don't have any critiques on how the defense played last week.
Yeah. So I guess we've got to turn our attention forward to today's game. We're looking at, you know, another theoretically should be easy win. Middle Tennessee, 6:00, SEC Network. So I guess the question is, do we think this week looks any better on paper when we get to the final result than last week looked?
You're probably going to have Brady in the whole time, you know, with the offensive philosophy of, like, trying to score, right?
Right.
So, I mean, we'll see. Maybe there's some extra rhythm that the offense can get into that they weren't in the second half because of Sam. We'll see. Middle Tennessee, at least the history-wise between these two programs, is not as easy a win as kind of you would expect for a team that you're lining up in week two.
Sure.
Because I think it was 2016 was the last time the teams met, and Middle Tennessee ruined homecoming.
Right.
And then they met for the first time in, like, 2003, and Mizzou needed overtime to beat them.
Right.
So, I mean, those are obviously different teams.
Sure.
You don't keep a college roster around for 7 years.
Right.
But, you know, that history-wise, that's not as easy of a W as you would expect.
Right.
But I would still think Mizzou should probably dominate.
But going backwards a little bit to when you said, you know, we'll see Brady Moore. I get the fact that we have now established that he's the starter, and you know we've settled the competition as such that it was. But again, is that the right call this early in the season with this game? I don't mind you naming him the starter, but I almost feel like this is a game that is also crying out for Brady. You get the first half and do whatever you will with that one, but Sam, you got to play in the second half because we've just got to get some more idea of what you are.
So Drinkwitz is. Quote, Tuesday during the press conference was, Brady has earned the right to start, and Sam has earned the right to play and develop.
Okay.
So, you know, he said, we'll probably see Sam for a couple of series, but he can't, you know, he doesn't know what's going to happen ahead of time. So
right,
it's
right.
Not going to be a plan the way it was in week one.
Sure.
Where going in, the whole idea was Brady's taking the first half, Sam's taking the second half, no matter the game situation.
Yeah.
Which, against South Dakota, you know what the game situation is going to be.
Right.
Or at least should be.
Right.
And against Middle Tennessee, you should know what it is anyways. We'll see. But yeah, that's another thing where, like, if it's a little closer than expected, we might be having another conversation like we had for multiple games last year where it was like, well, the plan was to get Sam in, but it was only a two-score game. So we had to have the best offense we have out there, and that means Brady.
Right. It's a Middle Tennessee team that's coming off a pretty good thumping score-wise against Alabama. You know, they lost 56-7, and I don't think anybody has any illusions that that game was ever close, but it is kind of, it does, you know, much like we talked about in terms of, you know, the Missouri-South Dakota game in terms of total yardage, you look at it and you go, well, Alabama only had, but 431 yards, whereas Middle Tennessee actually had 211 yards. So again, it just shows you that in this day and age, yardage is maybe not an indicator anymore of how close a game might be or how, you know, effective somebody is being in someone else, because you're going to get yards if you're going to get yards. It just happens. So, you know, I guess it's another one of those games where you go, I'm not sure, much in the way that I'm not sure that we know who Missouri is after one game. I'm not sure we know really who Middle Tennessee is, other than that they're not as good as Alabama. And you could say that about, you know, 95% of the football teams that are out there.
Yeah. I mean, they're going against Bama.
Right.
Like, you're going to get run.
Yeah.
Most teams do.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know a ton about Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people can say they do outside
Fair
of
enough.
Tennessee.
Fair enough.
I would expect Missouri not to have a hard time this week.
Yeah.
But again, I'm sure they didn't expect a hard time for homecoming.
Exactly.
In 2016. So, you know, maybe it's one of those teams that just, when they come to Columbia, they turn into a tricky team.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I guess the next thing up would be the injury front. How did the Tigers come out of last week? Anything of note, or are we getting anybody back who maybe didn't play last week?
Nothing new on the injury report.
Okay.
J.C. Carlisle is still listed as questionable. He did not play at all last week, and I don't see why he would have. This is another game where, like, maybe they have him available,
okay.
I guess. But, you know, the safeties did a pretty good job without him. Chad Bailey was upgraded to questionable from out, which was surprising because the initial report was definitely not going to play the first 2 weeks,
okay.
Maybe week three. So that's just an interesting update. Kind of doubt we'll see him this week either. And again, the linebackers played fine. In a game where the difference isn't going to be whether you have your first middle linebacker or your second middle linebacker,
right,
I don't
right.
know why you take the risk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, I guess that then gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and we'll just ask you, what do you think the spread might be this week?
This is another one. With as little as I know about Middle Tennessee going
right.
in, I still think this is a game where if you don't win by 20, like I said last week, that's where you start getting a problem.
Yeah.
And especially if you're going to have the first team offense with the starting quarterback more and able to hopefully develop more of a rhythm throughout the game. So I'll say Missouri wins 35, Middle Tennessee 14.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey. That's M-C-A-R-E-A-V-Y. Thanks for listening.